gospel according to Matthew. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up the hill. There he sat down and was joined by his disciples. Then he began to speak. This is what he taught them. How happy are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy the gentle. They shall have the earth for their heritage. Happy those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Happy those who hunger and thirst for what is right. They shall be satisfied. Happy the merciful. They shall have mercy shown to them. Happy the pure in heart. They shall see God. Happy the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Happy those who are persecuted in the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when people abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of evil against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great. This is the gospel of the Lord. When we ask who is going to climb the mountain of the Lord, Matthew gives us a kind of answer. The people that he talks about are the first to be named in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus sat down on a hill and called people to start to climb it. And the Beatitudes give us the way in which we can ascend into the holy place. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus is disposing of kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the earth as well. They shall have the earth for their heritage, the gentle. That will demand a revolution when the gentle possess the earth, because at the moment it is in the hands of the powerful and very often the cruel and the selfish. Those who have the courage to stamp on the fingers of the poor are the ones who possess the earth. And the coming to fruition of these Beatitudes will require a total overturning of the way the world now is. Now, couple that with the note in the first two readings. Because the world refused to acknowledge him, therefore it does not acknowledge us. The world doesn't acknowledge the poor in spirit, the gentle, those who mourn, those who hungry for justice and rest. But they are the ones who are to inherit it. And this lack of acknowledgement on the part of the world means that the world, as it now stands, is a doomed world. Because it does not know, it doesn't understand where it is going and into whose hands it is to pass. Now, in the Apocalypse, the vision of the visionary is of a vast number impossible to count. He is so strongly Jewish, this man, that we would expect him to find around the throne of God a huge number, a gross of thousands of people from the 12 tribes of Israel. But turning from them, he looks around and finds a vast multitude, innumerable, from every tribe and tongue people and nation. And these are the ones who are unacknowledged by the world. At the beginning of this reading, we find an echo of the Exodus. An angel rising where the sun rises, carrying the seal of the living God, calls in a powerful voice to the four angels who are about to devastate the earth. The ones who are about to visit upon the earth the judgment of God. Wait before you do any damage until we have set the seal of the living God on the foreheads of his chosen. It reminds you irresistibly of the destruction of the firstborn in Egypt, where the homes of the faithful are marked out, sealed with the blood of the Lamb, kept firmly closed as the destroyer passes over them. And here, the martyrs beneath the throne of God are sealed for him, as we were signed with chrism at our confirmation and our baptism, signed as those who belong to the kingdom and who are not to undergo the fate of this doomed earth. I find that all the feasts that the church celebrates speak to us of human realities. We can't celebrate things beyond us. And so we have to find the exact place where this feast speaks to us. And I find it in the anonymity of that great crowd. That's what worries us about human life. We know how to suffer for it. We know how to be sacrificial if only we can see the reason. The way a mother learns to be sacrificial for the children that she bears. Where a father learns to be sacrificial as he works for his family. The way anybody who loves another person has to make sacrifices. We know instinctively that it's right to do this. And it sanctifies us. It purifies us to do it. As selfishness gives way, little by little, to self-giving. What worries us is that characteristically human beings disappear into a void. Although we famously preserve a few of them in our minds, the great names, the great sinners and the great saints, the great poets and artists and great damagers of humanity. Still, the most typical thing is that we are forgotten. We flower like the flower of the field, says Psalm 90. And then the wind blows and we are gone, and our face never sees us again. And it's that anonymity, the anonymity of oblivion, which, if you think about it for long enough, can begin to eat away at your respect for humanity. And if we're going to all sink into this total forgetful darkness, what's the point of whether we're right or wrong? What's the point of whether we're good or evil? It's all pointless in the end. And to that feeling, this feast speaks. The vast number, impossible to count, the huge crowd of people who have been anointed for God and who are consecrated to him, unknown to the world, unacknowledged, uncounted or named, but celebrated in this feast because their names are known to God. And that brings us to divine gifts, which the Beatitudes enshrine. Because in The terms of the world, these gifts could never survive, never grow. They make worldly nonsense. It is nonsensical in the end, in the world's tariff, that we should choose gentleness rather than coercion, or that we should choose forgiveness rather than revenge. But when we do these things, the anointing that we have received begins to shine on us, and we ourselves can become small witnesses against the harsh cruelty and the doomedness of the world. We can witness against it with a light which can heal and give hope in the darkness. And that is what the saints have always done. And every one of us has been privileged to know some of them and be blessed by them. And so, not naming and not counting tonight, we give thanks for them and celebrate the presence in our very ordinary and unacknowledged lives of the yeast of God's bread and the heritage of his kingdom. We believe in one God, the Father and the Almighty.